It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, welcome everyone. We are going to get right into it. The San Jose Sharks are hosting the Dallas Stars tonight at SAP Center, 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And joining us to talk about tonight's game, it is our good friend Owen Newkirk, who of course is a radio host for the Stars and has to deal with me in the soccer world as well, so apologies on that front. Owen, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Ted, no apologies needed.
Is everything humming along with this Dallas team exactly how you kind of expected it? Because I feel like this team, you know, whenever I've checked in on the year, it's always the same record at home and road, almost exactly the same. Seems like, you know, your guys are always on a 4 or 5 game win streak. I know you guys have won, I believe, 8 out of your last 10. It just feels like this team has fallen into quite a little groove right now. Maybe they're not stealing all the headlines, but maybe that's kind of how exactly they want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of want to be maybe a little further along as far as a little bit of a lead in your division, I think would be great. But you're right. Yeah, the under the radar part of it is, I don't think Dallas is, to be perfectly frank, but there is sort of a sense of, there's a lot of conversation generally about, oh, I don't know, Florida and Boston fighting it out in the East, mm-hmm. the Rangers and Hurricanes in the Metro. Vancouver has had a lot of attention because they have such a big gap over Edmonton in the Pacific. But I think that the compelling three-team race in the Central does draw a lot of eyeballs in the hockey community. But at the same time, I think because there are so many teams that I just mentioned that I think are real Stanley Cup contenders and also President's Trophy contenders, mm-hmm. that you can't just say, well, one of these teams is out in front and the rest have got to chase. I mean, if you look at just the league standings, let alone the division or conference, it is really, really tight. I mean, the top seven teams are separated by 1 point. That's crazy.
That's crazy. It's absolutely insane to see it break down that way. But, you know, along the way, you know, there, if we look back at the month of March for this team, there's been some tight games against the Sharks, which is relatively inexplicable just because I'm not trying to, you know, I'm surprised that I guess Dallas has had close games with the Sharks, going shootout and overtime and both those. But there's been some impressive wins against teams like the Kings, but then close losses against the Florida in there. Like, where are you on this team right now as they do head into the final stretch?
I think they're doing better in the last week or so. I mean, 11 wins in their last 13 is not a problem, right?
No.
It's 9 of the last 11. I got the math wrong. It's been it's going to be a long week, Ted, with the 4 games on the West Coast and late nights and and then early kids soccer practice and stuff for school. It's never ending. But no, I think, look, it's always cliched to say that teams that are out of it, like the Sharks are, as far as playoff contention, are hard to play against, because conceivably a team like Dallas fighting for the best record in the league, in the conference, in the division, shouldn't have any trouble with San Jose. But we all know that in reality, that's not always the case, because it's hard to play a team that's playing free and easy, because, oh, okay, if a young guy goes and does something a little off script, it's hard to expect that. And guess what? He's probably not going to be reprimanded as much as a team that's trying to play a very set way and really focus on things. So free and easy is hard to do with. And we've heard this for the entirety of both of our careers, is the margins in the NHL are very slim.
Yes.
So it's not as though San Jose doesn't have NHL caliber players on the roster. And it's not as though the best team in the upcoming NCAA college hockey tournament could come in and relegate San Jose to playing in the minor leagues or the best AHL team. That's just not how that works. So we both know that it's, yes, you should take care of business when you look at the gap in the standings, but you still have to go out and do that. And the two games at the beginning of the month, the shootout was tight. I don't think the Stars played really well, but they got that win. But boy, they played just awful hockey in San Jose back on the 5th of March until they were down 6-3 and then turned it on and rallied. And you got to see a little bit about why the Stars do have a shot at winning a Stanley Cup this year. I would imagine the team would like to see a little bit more of that consistency tonight than what we saw the last time they were at SAP Center, because that just wasn't good enough if you have the kind of grandiose plans that they have. And they've won 4 in a row, and they have generally done the things that they need to do over that stretch. But, you know, again, they played LA when the Kings had to play in Chicago the night before. They had a great first period. I thought they played very well, but they also took advantage of a team that was tired and did what you're supposed to do and not let them hang around. And then they had two tough games against the Coyotes. And boy, I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Penguins might never win another game. And that's awful to say, because when they were up 4-0 the other night against Colorado, afternoon game, actually, I thought they were going to do us a favor. And they lost that one in overtime.
It is, it's interesting. I'll put it that way. Looking back on the other side of the break, are the two wins against Carolina, home and away, are those the statement games, or maybe the road win where, you know, Nashville was just pummeled by Dallas, or the Winnipeg win at home? Like, which, or the, is it, is this not a team where you can say there is a statement win because they've been so consistent? It feels like I'm watching the same Dallas game, whether it's, you know, a tight win in overtime or, you know, just handling a business in regulation. It feels like I'm watching the same game over and over. And that's one of the reasons why I've told people consistently, don't sleep on Dallas, even if they're not as sexy as some of the other stories that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the last time I was on, which was that the scoring depth of this team in the forward lines is something that really sets them apart, because it's not just, okay, the Avengers line. You have to shut down Hintz, Robertson, Pavelski, and if you do that, you have a good shot at winning. No, because you have the Sagan, Duchesne, and Marchment line. Then you have Stankoven, who's lighting it up now with Wyatt Johnson and Jamie Benn. And guess what? Our fourth line, which is four players for three spots, and soon five when Evgeny Dodonov returns, although we haven't seen him even start to skate yet, so that might not be until the playoffs. But the point of it is, you can't just try to concentrate your defensive efforts on one line. So there aren't the maybe the real sexy, like this guy's got 100 points kind of player at the moment. Jason Robertson did that last year. But if anything, it's made the team better. As far as signature wins, there are a few that I remember saying, wow, that was a really complete effort. I think the 6-3 win over the Rangers back in November was a big one. And the reason why I bring that one up is because it was fresh off of losing 6-3 at home to the Avalanche when Dallas was up 3-0 and went on a power play and failed to score when they had a chance to make it 4-0 and end the game. And they were completely dominating the Avalanche. They ended up coming back and winning that game, Colorado did, in Dallas. And so then to come back two nights later at home and dismantle the Rangers, a very, very good team, that was one of those moments. The same thing happened against Florida, where Dallas was, for 45, 50 minutes, outplaying at the time the number one team points-wise in the league. And Florida found a way to score three power play goals. Stars took a couple dumb penalties, and they won that game 4-3. So in a weird way, they actually have a couple signature losses. Yeah, this scoring 9 against the against the Preds was a lot of fun. Scoring 8 at home against the Tampa Bay Lightning, that was a bit of a difference because they've had some bad luck with Tampa over the last few years. I think going up to Minnesota early in the season and putting up 8 and scoring 5 special teams goals was a lot of fun. And the other one in Nashville was one that really stood out, because Dallas scored 2 goals in the final 15 seconds and went from 1-0 down to winning 2-1 in regulation. And the Preds were absolutely stunned. And so were we, to be honest with you. So you notice the trend is for the most part is pretty good team, actually very good team, but also with that sort of ace in the hole of they can find a way to rally, which earlier in the year we said maybe they were doing too often. But yeah, I mean, they can hang with everybody, but they are not perfect. And that's what makes the playoffs fun, I suppose.
Jake Oettinger's numbers are a little bit up versus what his career averages are this year. Do you just chalk that up to, his numbers were so good they were bound to creep up a little? Or do you say, no, you know, the defense has failed at times? Or do you say, no, at times, you know, he's had little gaps in his game? What's the read on your end?
Well, Oettinger has not had the kind of season that he expected and the team did as far as the numbers standpoint. If you look at his wins, they're very happy with that. And I think that's a reflection of the team and of Jake Oettinger's resiliency and finding ways to get results, even when you're not standing on your head and playing as your absolute best. He got derailed because he suffered an ankle injury last season that none of us knew about during the year. He played on it, and I guess it really started to bother him more and more towards the end of the season into the playoffs, which, as you saw, he wasn't as good as the Stars went into the second and third rounds last year as he was in the first round against Minnesota. So then they thought it was a rehab injury. It turned out he needed surgery. So that really cost him the entire offseason plans, because now he had to recover from a surgery instead of having his normal offseason training and strength regimens. He started out the season extremely well and nobody thought anything of it, but then he aggravated something and had an injury. And I don't think it was related to the surgery directly, but maybe a causation of indirectly. And so he struggled for a bit. Then they had to shut him down for a little while. And he's been up and down since. But the one thing that stands out to me about Jake Oettinger is he is capable of bouncing back, much like this team, from a bad game and being exceptionally good the next time out. And I thought something that Jake said to us last week was interesting. He said, you know, I've got to get back to having fun and, you know, enjoying this game. And that's when I'm at my best. You know, there's been some things that have been outside pressures and stuff that usually I don't let bother me that I think have crept into my head, and I haven't been having as much fun lately. And so at least he's aware of it. One of his superpowers is his mental strength. And that was one reason that when he was first with the Stars in development camp and, you know, going back and forth with our crazy taxi squad stuff that we had to do, all that fun, I had a feeling that he was going to be the real deal, because it wasn't, oh, well, he's big, well, he's athletic. Those things can come and go, but having a kid that is as mentally strong and that focus and commitment and confidence that he has, I'm not worried about him long-term at all.
No, I mean, I guess there is the sense that he can turn it on again quickly, because you know, goalie stats, I always find are so deceptive, and I'm not even a big believer in luck, but you can go back and find goals on any goalie and just say, you know, what could they have done to stop that? Like, granted, they may have been superhuman in the past and have gotten the stop, but also it's like, well, maybe they got the stop because the tip was just in a way that happened that made it capable for them to make a superhuman type save. Like, I would imagine there's no lack of confidence, right? Like, he's only allowed 2 goals against in his last 3 appearances. That's, I'll take that any day of the week, and I'm pretty sure any team in the NHL would.
Yeah, and he got lifted against the Devils, and the team was terrible too. So it wasn't just on Jake, but he didn't make that save. Now, guess what he did do is come back and play well, and he did make that save in some very key moments. He had a ridiculous paddle out of midair reach back save where he denied the Coyotes of what everyone thought was going to be a sure goal. And when you get a save like that, you go, okay, I'm living right, but you're also putting yourself in positions to make that stop. And those are the kind of saves that you shouldn't expect, but when you're supposed to be an upper echelon goalie, you kind of do at times. So, well, he's really, really consistent, but he's not making that over-the-top save. Well, Jake Oettinger has done that too. But you're right. It's always been goalie numbers kind of mimic the way the team plays in front of him. Mm-hmm. Now, there's still a point, and I don't know about you guys, but the Stars have had some games this year where they were the much better team and they got goalied. It happened back-to-back games on an East Coast road trip where they outplayed the Bruins in Boston and ended up losing in a shootout only because Jeremy Swayman was incredible and kept them in that game. And then they went punch for punch in the shootout, which was ridiculous. And then they got Shesterkined in New York at Madison Square Garden the next night when the Stars, again, playing on the second night of a back-to-back, was the better team. But, you know, their Russian goalie just stood on his head and he was fantastic. So those things do happen. And I think every fan base believes it happens to their team more than everybody else in the league, which is laughable. But there are those nights where the other guy is just better and your guy's fine, but he didn't make those 10 saves standing on his head.
How has it been watching Jamie Benn get hot as of late at the right time? I know he's got a 6-game point streak, 5-game goal streak going on. Obviously, he's very effective, second on the club on power play points. Just seems to me like this is, you know, it's exactly what you need to have happen. Having watched a player that's now on the Stars, Pavelski, starting to heat up at this time of the year, previously with the Sharks, when he was the captain, watching Jamie Benn do it, it kind of feels like it's a reflection of something I've seen before.
Well, it means a lot to the team because of how much respect that Jamie has with his fellow players in the locker room. That's a big thing. Everybody, you know, he's a very quiet guy in the media. He's reserved. He doesn't like to show much of his real personality. He doesn't want to be, you know, letting his guard down in many ways in front of the cameras. In the dressing room, he's a very different guy. He's much more open and jovial. And I know that players have a high level of respect because we talk to him and they come in and go, he's the best captain we've ever had. And keep asking these guys that come in that are new to the team about it, because I just, you know, want to, we've done it over the years going, hey, this isn't really, this is just some lip service that's being talked about. Right. And they go, no, he's really something. So anytime you have your leader also producing, that's a great thing. But it goes back to my point about the depth earlier, is that Jamie Benn's hot right now. That's great. Yeah. Wyatt Johnston, his center, was lighting it up just before that and still playing well. Matt Duchene went through a lot of struggles with Tyler Seguin out. Even though he was playing well, he couldn't get the puck to go in the net. Well, he got an empty net goal the other night against the Coyotes to snap an 11-game goal drought. And you go, well, Duchene looked good just about the whole time, but he and Marchment couldn't buy a goal. And then Seguin comes back and their line explodes again. And that's just sort of how that seems to work. And then there's, you know, the top line where Roope Hintz has been having 4 to 6 quality chances a night lately and can't seem to buy a goal either. And there's a really bad joke about someone being from Finland yet struggling to finish that I'll save for somebody funnier than me. But that's just sort of how the ebbs and flows of a season goes. And for a good team to have the ability to pick up the guy that's not scoring at the moment with the guy that's on a heater, that just makes you that much harder to defend, I think.
As a final one for you, how do you feel about the team at this point of the season compared to where it was a year ago or 2 years ago?
I think that, that's a really good, fun thought exercise. I think that the team is better, even though they don't have Jason Robertson pushing 50 goals or 100 points. And, you know, Miro Heiskanen should be in the conversation for the Norris Trophy because of his all-around play, and he's by far the best coverage defenseman in the league, but he probably won't get those votes unless something drastic changes, because we're in Dallas and, you know, you don't have the voting population of those members that you do in Toronto and some of the other big markets. But aside from that, I think that the Stars, for the first time in a really long time, are entering the playoffs as one of the favorites. Maybe not the, like, outright, this is the team to beat, but one of the contenders. Every other year, with the exception of maybe 2015-16, which was a really fun season, I think, even then, Dallas had their question marks in goal, because it was Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi was the pairing, and they had 50 wins combined, but there were moments where you're going, well, I don't know if either one of these guys can carry them to the cup. Well, nobody doubts that Jake Oettinger has the pedigree to do it. Scott Wedgwood has been fantastic. I argue he's been one of the best backups in the league this year. Just look at his win totals. But I just think this year feels more of they have a real shot, not of a, you know, the run to the bubble final was unbelievable and what a great thing, but it kind of felt like, did they catch lightning in a bottle, so to speak, or last year to the conference final, they're really good, but boy, you look at Vegas, they might just be a little bit better. I don't know if anybody around here in Dallas is saying anybody's, you know, stacks up better than the Stars. You're afraid of a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, who seems to be operating on a different wavelength than everybody in the league. Maybe a McDavid, just because those two are so special, or Kucherov in Tampa, you go, well, if he's on, there's nobody that's going to stop him. But other than that, I say, you know, we've been basically saying, bring it on. This team can do it. Will they? We don't know. But at least they have the ability. So I think that, to answer your question in the most roundabout way possible, yeah, I think this is different. I think this team feels they're good enough, if they can stay healthy, that they can win it all.
Owen, appreciate your time as always, man, and I'll be bugging you again soon, all right?
I look forward to it. Thanks, Ted.
That's Owen Newkirk. We're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.